So, everybody, we're together now, and we are going to have a wonderful time together today. We've got a lot of things planned and a whole new program agenda that I think and hope you will love. So I just want to start by thanking all of you for being here, because as a community, you create strength for everybody here. Whether you say anything or not, your spirit is here, and we are joined in spirit to provide a seamless conveyance for the blessings of Christ to each other and to receive for ourselves. So I want to start by thanking Nancy for being here. You're my right hand.
I'm so happy to be here, really, everybody. This is just such a wonderful time to be together, and what a glorious day for all of us. And to start with the first beatitude is just, I'm just so tickled. Just so great.
Well, I'll get into that in just a minute. First of all, I want to thank many of you for writing me at Ask a Blessing. It's askablessing@christblessing.org. And I get them all. Just wanted to acknowledge that you are being lovingly received and lovingly appreciated and held in grace. So I, just to make sure you know, I think I got everything. I received Aria, Angela, Stephen, Charlotte, Natalie, Victoria, and Emin, and Sarah, and Gary. Okay, that's it for this week. But there have been others in other previous weeks, and I didn't list them, but I think it's a good thing just not to call your whole name, not to give any public exposure, but to let you know that we got your letter, and we love you. And it's now inscribed in my heart, so it can be there when I offer the blessing in other times of prayer and blessing during the week. We can be closely together. And we will celebrate that in a little while after we start our new practice. Now, we are going to open the queue for our callers. And I'm thinking that maybe we should wait a little bit on that, so that we've got all of everyone who wants to speak in the queue before we actually open it up. Let's just go ahead with what Nancy brought up, and that is what we're going to talk about today. I promised you last week we were going to do something a little bit like a book study, where we're going to take up a passage from Love Without End, and we are going to flip it, turn it upside down, inside out. We're going to dissect it and extract from it all of the beauty and the meaning that passage has to offer. I think it will help us to understand the connection between Yeshua's words, which started all of this inspiration, and what we're doing here today. And since there's a whole chapter on living the blessed life, well, it occurred to my little brain that would be a good place to start. That we will go through the various blessings that he covered and dealt with in depth in the Sermon on the Mount, where he they're normally referred to as the Beatitudes, but the Beatitudes are blessings, and so I I produced a quote from page 227 to 228 in the final, from taken from the final edition of Love Without End. But if you have an earlier edition, all you have to do is go to chapter 9. It will be numbered differently because the layout of the book of the earlier editions are a little different. But just go to the first blessing, which is one that I always had a lot of trouble with as a child. And I didn't mind bringing up to him my difficulty with it. It is, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Well, my friends, I've been around a lot of poor people, and to me, it didn't seem like they were in the kingdom of heaven. So I really had some major, major difficulty with that, because I imagine most people would view poverty as a material condition and a depleting condition, an absence of supply, or at least of surplus supply. Well, he brought into my misunderstanding what was really meant there, because it was spoken in Aramaic and then later translated into Hebrew, eventually into Latin, and then from there, all the different languages of the world. And translators are not always privy to or even understanding at all of the original language that something might have been spoken in. So he made me very aware that he was not referring to material wealth or lack thereof. He was referring to a use of poor, or the equivalent of poor, in Aramaic, which meant simple, simplicity,
yeah.
The uncomplicated life. And before we go any deeper on that meaning, I want to connect that for you with a passage in the Gospel of Matthew, where the kingdom of heaven is compared to the life of a child. He said, a child is in the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is like unto a child. Well, I thought, well, how could that possibly be? And then this. I don't mind telling you, as a human being, I had some confusion. But after he clarified the meaning, it became very obvious to me. Children are at the most uncomplicated stage of life. They come into this world in an utter state of simplicity, in an utter state of uncomplicated receivership of life. They've just been given life. They took their first breath, and they were amazed to look into the beautiful light and aura of life. They didn't know how to do anything but receive. They had really nothing to give other than love. Of course, that's a lot, but in terms of the way we think of giving, they had nothing to give. They had everything to receive. And they were open to receiving. You know, they had no trouble finding that nipple. It's like their little mouth was a Geiger counter, and they found it. They had no trouble receiving the embrace of loving arms and kisses on the forehead and on the cheek and hugs and just scrunchy little lovable puddles. They were there to receive, and they were in a receiving mode almost exclusively for 2 years. Actually, we scientifically know now that babies and very, very young children are in the brainwave of Delta for the first 2 years of their life, even when they're awake. They're never out of Delta. Delta is to life what a dilated eye is to light. If you've been to the optometrist, which probably most people have, you know that when you leave, you got to leave wearing sunglasses because your eye will receive too much light and it could be damaging. Well, the life of a baby and a little tiny child is totally dilated. They're there to receive everything. And boy, do they hear everything. They have an amazing way of understanding every emotion, everything that's going on in the room. They know who's there and who it is and what it's all about. You think they don't. Oh, they are receiving everything. Okay. Well, now, our biggest problem that keeps us into filtered receiving is we're not simple. We're not open. And we're not open to receiving without lots and lots of qualifications and filters. That's what blocks our blessings. If we were open to receive everything God had to offer, I promise you, you would be in the kingdom of heaven. You're not open to receive it for a number of reasons. One is you've got your sunglasses on because you don't know what's coming in that light. And is that light coming from God? And will it contain something you're not ready to handle? And your mind has pretty much taken over. When you're just tiny, little kid, little baby, your heart is in charge. Your heart was the first cell ever created. And then your heart created everything in your little fetal body until the brain was created. And then the brain finished it all off. The brain is what put it all together. The brain is like our dashboard. It's our coordinating system. The brain finished off, coordinated, put our whole life together. And this is why if someone has a damage to the brain or a stroke, some body parts actually fall out of coordination because the brain is the coordinator. It truly isn't. We have to respect it for all the good work it does for us. But it's not going to take us to the kingdom of heaven because it was put in place to really finish off our ability to survive in the world. That's what it's there for. The brain teaches us how to survive in the world, how to find the right occupation, how to learn in school, how to compete, how to solve problems. And since problems contain, the solving of problems contains the anatomy of a problem, our brains teach us to be very careful. They'll teach us to think, well, it's not all good for us. We got to be very careful to filter out the good from the bad, only take the good, and then we put the good together. That's the way the brain functions, which is a wonderful tool which we need for surviving it in the world. But it's not going to take us to the kingdom of heaven. So he elaborated on that some more. But I'm going to take a little break from just straight talking. And I think there may be some of you who maybe did not receive the quote. So I want to read it for everyone. And then after I read it, anyone who wants to comment on any part of it, or dissect it and say, well, I don't understand this. Hey, I presented an I don't understand for Yeshua. So you're welcome to present an I don't understand also. But let's get it all out there where everybody can be on the same two pages. Okay? It begins on page 227 of the final edition. In his resonant baritone voice, he began, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Then he waited for my response. That was maybe 2 minutes. He didn't want to say anymore. He knew I was going to react. he knew me pretty well. So I then did. I replied that I had stumbled over that particular blessing since I first heard it as a child. To me, the kingdom of heaven means infinite abundance. So how does being poor relate to having all the riches of heaven? I was also confused by the connection between poverty and heaven. What did you really mean when you said that? His continuing recitation was, if you had listened with your heart, you would have heard the truth, despite the losses in translation. However, since you have now focused on your misunderstanding, let me help you through the difficulty. You're stumbling over the word poor. In Aramaic, the word poor has a number of possible meanings, which can only be determined by the context and thoughts being conveyed. Poor could mean impoverished or depleted, as with washed out soil. It could mean lacking in ability, absence of quality, low in potential, or deficient. These meanings translate easily into the definitions of your language, and he was referring to English. Yet, there is one more meaning that poor had in Aramaic, which is not used in most modern languages. It meant simple and uncomplicated. When I made that proclamation, my true reference was to simplicity. Let me recite it now correctly for you, and then you can tell me how you feel. Blessed are those who live in simplicity, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. All I could say was, well, that's perfect. Now, I felt deeply nourished by that blessing. After a while, he proceeded to say more about it. And he opened with, essentially, the great caution is to refrain from introducing complexities and hierarchies into spiritual pursuits or life in general. Structure is necessary to physical existence and even to social existence. However, if carried too far, especially in the spiritual realm, it can result in isolation, frustration, judgment, and arrogance. Don't empower belief systems which limit and control your approach to God. Don't submit to the tyranny of hierarchies which require that you ascend in your spiritual life according to permission or protocol established by man. That was the critical issue surrounding the Tower of Babel. The religion of ancient Babylon was controlled by echelons of priestly authority, which assumed all rights to govern a person's ascension to heaven. This has been a recurring problem within organized religion, and many spiritual empires have failed because they were based on structures of the mind and human authority. The kingdom of heaven is not attained through the structure and authority of human domain. If you surround your sacred experiences with endless requirements sanctioned by man, then basically what you've done is to shut the doors of heaven. Keep it simple. There is but one spirit. It is not required that you climb 1,000 steps before you can be fully connected with your Creator in spirit. Spirit is within you. It is of you. Spirit is around you. Spirit embraces you and is with you always. You don't need the permission of structure to receive anything that the Spirit of God has in store for you. All the great empires of history crumbled to dust because of hierarchies which governed their spiritual lives. This is why I said, blessed are the simple in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. When you are simple in spirit, all will be given to you, merely for the asking. You don't need to acquire a new dimensionality before passing on to an even more elite dimensionality. Love and simplicity are the only requirements of a fulfilled spiritual life. Mm-hmm. And then he went on to bring up a subject that is really a subject in its own right, a powerful one, but it connects deeply with this, and it reflects profoundly upon the world in which we live and the conflicts that we are experiencing, not only in the secular world, but also between denominations of religion and belief. Now, remember, he said, there's but one spirit. So then he goes on, and that's a kingdom. That one spirit is the kingdom of heaven. Okay, so he goes on. Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to its dissolution. Every city or house divided against itself will not stand. The reason is that there is but one spirit, and it cannot be divided. You cannot say one thing has spirit and another has not. You cannot say that one person belongs to the spirit and another does not. You cannot take anything from the spirit. Spirit is in all things, of all things, and with all things. Where spirit is concerned, there are no prerequisites and no hierarchies. The spirit is one. If you attempt to break it, the divided house will turn against you, the disruptor. Whenever you attempt to divide the spirit, you have granted it consent to collect its damages from you. Accepting and honoring the one spirit from the simplicity of your own place in life is the key to heaven. Accept it where you are, as you are. Be yourself. A flea at peace with itself is in wonderment of eternity and is more likely to see the face of God than a giant whose ravenous appetite seeks to acquire everything only for himself. It is not the size or importance which matters, but rather acceptance and simplicity. There is fulfillment in simplicity that will bring you great happiness. Never once, now we're back to me, okay. Never once did he say, blessed are those who build elaborate structures of the mind or of the world to extol their own advantaged positions or anything similar. Instead, he emphasized that we are blessed in spirit as we affirm the love that we are and join with the love of our Creator in a realm above human posturing. Now, we're back to him. Hierarchies are part of worldly elitism. Structure belongs to the earth. As you ascend to a higher, more loving relationship with your fellow man and your Creator, the dominance of structure will fall away. Those who claim to be ascending through the layers of structured perception are only ascending in their minds. They have not yet seen the kingdom of heaven. As you ascend in spirit, structured reality falls away and has no bearing and little relevance to your awareness. In love and spirit, there are neither hierarchies nor structure. Love is the source of your life. Maintain simplicity in your thoughts as well. Thoughts generate performance. Therefore, it is very important to guard your thoughts and direct them properly. You could compare love to a commander in chief and your thoughts to a colonel giving orders to the troops to the field. It's important that orders be relayed to the troops, and that is the role of thoughts. So guard your thoughts and instruct them well. If you misconceive them to be the source of life, however, you will forget your real power. That's the end of our quoted message for this day. And I want to close with one small epiphany that I had that for me brought this even into the realm of science. Because sometimes we tend to think that science has its own rules, its own program of order and probability, proof and relevance. Well, it has its own order of application, yes, but it's still created from the same fabric as the whole universe. Otherwise, it would be irrelevant if it wasn't. So what came to me as an epiphany is how complicated some scientists try to make their explanations of the universe, whether it's particle physics, geology, or energy, anatomy, or mathematics. And they will quarrel over, well, is this the right formula, or should it be that formula, or something else? When you make something too complicated, whether it's life or physics, you open it not only to discussion, but you open it to disagreements. You open it to everybody's got an opinion, okay? Well, let's give everybody time on the stage and hear all the opinions, and then we'll see if we can put the opinions together. I'm going to give you an example of what simplicity really looks like. Albert Einstein decoded the basic function of the universe: matter, energy, time, and space. E, meaning energy, equals mc square. E equals mc square. That has stood through the decades. Not one scientist ever argues with it. Not one ever discusses, Well, could we say it a different way? Is there more to it than that? Not ever. It stands. And from that simple equation, he revealed that the constant of the physical material universe is light. And isn't it just interesting and curious that the first thing God ordained in the order of creation was, let there be light. How simple can we get? And at the same time, be profound. You don't have to be complicated to be sophisticated. That's just posturing of people who only half know what they're talking about. And they're covering for the fact that they only half know it by only presenting half of it. Albert Einstein was a pretty sophisticated guy. And some of the quantum physicists that followed him added their own equally sophisticated applications of that. In other words, they took it and applied it in an equally simple, unchallenged way. Even today, when we have more theories being presented, such as string theory, and well, there's a lot of them. I won't go down the list. They don't argue with E equals MC squared. They just add to how many other ways it could apply. There's no reason to not be in constant new discovery just because we have some simple axiomatic truth. Truth is simple. It's not complicated, my friends. And sometimes it comes down to just something as simple as yes or no. How many parents had to struggle for months to get the courage to say no to their kid? And no was the answer. It didn't have to be complicated with lots of explanations that the child was not yet really able to understand. No got the job done. You know, and it's so true about everything. You look for that simplicity, you find truth. You find truth and you're walking into the kingdom of heaven. Whether it's even scientifically, even there, but most especially in the world of intangibles, which is where the soul lives. And at that point, yes, we need that simplicity. We don't, complications only do exactly that, and they give room for discussion, debate, argument, and ultimately, trashing a subject like, well, this doesn't work. This is the problem with so much psychology today that doesn't really figure out things. So then they call Big Pharma and say, you got a drug for this? and that doesn't work either. So, all right, my friends, it's back to you. And we've got almost 30 minutes to talk about this, or let's talk about this first, and then we'll have time for those who want to ask specifically for a blessing. All right?
Yeah.
Nancy? Is
I'm here.
Room full of people who want to talk?
It really is. So,
okay.
Folks, let's get into it, because this is just so wonderful, Glenda. So I'm going to open up the first line, and it is Mary Beth. Hi, Mary Beth. We're so happy you're here today.
Hi, this is Mary Beth Ashley. I think there's a couple of Mary Beths on here. Yes, this is wonderful. I was reading it last night, and it's just so deep and so wonderful. And boy, I got a lot of simplicity to put into practice. Because I have a tendency to make everything complicated.
We all do.
Yeah.
We're all guilty of that.
So I'm really taking this on this week. And I have been simplifying my life since I moved 3 years ago. And there's a situation that may come about starting tomorrow that's going to complicate it. So I am looking at ways to simplify it. And I know it can be done. It just might take a little bit
of
adjusting. Yeah.
And
yeah.
That doesn't mean that your attitude toward it has to be complicated.
Yeah. Okay.
You got it?
Okay. Yes. 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 I did send you a blessing request last night for my sister, Susan. I don't know if you received it.
Oh, I did, Mary Beth, but I think I think I put it under her name.
Okay, good, good. And then real quick, the other thing I wanted to mention is I just love this frankincense. I'm on the second bottle. I put it on my chest and third eye every night before I go to bed. And I really think that it bypassed me having any type of anything that was going around this winter since I started using it.
It actually can do that. And I I looked for 2 years to find that one. Really, most frankincense is really too heavy for me because they draw it from the wood, and there's resin in the wood. We all know what resin is from having touched a pine tree and get this sticky stuff that you can't take off with soap and water. Well, all woody, not all, but all evergreen woody things have resin. The resin is what protects the tree through the winter so that it can actually be evergreen. And this particular frankincense is distilled from the leaves, which are low in resin, and it makes all the difference. Plus, it gives it almost a floral quality. I don't mean flower, floral, but it's the leaves are the equivalent of flower to an evergreen tree. And
it's
it gives
like a
it that
citrus to me.
Okay. Yeah, and that too. Yeah, it's true, because I knew that I needed to use frankincense in making crescent. That was one of the slowdowns I had at one point, was getting the, because that's what the wise men brought to bless him when he was a baby. So I knew it had to be there. But they brought from the Middle East, and actually I found this in the Middle East. I had to go into the distillers in the Middle East to get that. So it's a very special frankincense.
And I'm wearing crescent today. And I love holy ground. Do you still carry holy ground? I didn't see it.
Oh, yeah. We sure do.
Okay.
And I love it, too.
Great.
Yeah. Holy ground
Was
created. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
No,
that's it?
No, go ahead.
No, holy ground was a calling to our soul. Christ said is a calling to his soul. Holy ground is a calling to come forth and be in the presence of Christ. So both are very, very beautiful and important.
Wow. And I'm looking forward to your new book, The Only Way Out Is Up, which is what I've been working on all this weekend. Yep.
Mm-hmm. I'm back to working on it, and I want to thank everyone for their patience, their enduring love, their prayers, and their blessings that I would get through the various health challenges that I had. And I am on the sunny side of that right now. So the dawn has broken for Mama G a few days ago, and I woke up feeling normal. It's a wonderful feeling. Yeah.
Great.
So back to work. We're going to be publishing soon.
Great. So that's all I had to share. So thank you so much for blessing for my sister. Okay. Bye.
Thank you, Mary Beth. Bye-bye. We're going to open up. We have Stephen. Hi, Stephen.
Oh, hello. I just want to say thank you so much for presenting this this new format of bringing forth the wisdom of Yeshua through these readings of Love Without End. It's just really touching my heart and inspiring me. So thank you so much, Glenda. And I just want to share one of my favorite quotes of all times, actually from Henry David Thoreau: simplify, simplify, simplify. And to me, growing up in a very secular Jewish environment, and my especially my father's side of the family was heavily persecuted in throughout their lineage and history. This beatitude in particular for me really speaks to the true essence of true Christianity. Really, it's the energy of Ortha, the way. And I really so resonate with this aspect of really what Yeshua brought forth. But of course, many religions throughout the world. And it reminds me of when I was a young man, speaking with my grandmother Rita, my father's mother, who grew up born in Ukraine, grew up in St. Petersburg, Russia, and her father was a famous rabbi, and she escaped the pogroms of Russia in the 1920s and eventually ended up in New York City. But I remember when I was, in my early 20s talking to her just about a lot of different things, and particularly Christianity, and she really, even though, my father's father, his whole family was just decimated in the Holocaust, sadly. They were all in Poland. And, I remember my grandmother just saying that, because we were talking about, the Christian persecution of Jews in history, not all Christians, of course, but she really touched on something that resonated with me. This is way back. This is, over 30 years ago, that really stuck with me. And she said, the true Christians are really amazing people. They have such a humble authenticity and such a purity of heart and a simplicity about their way of life, which is really amazing and admirable. And so that always just stuck with me. And to me, this beatitude really,
it says it all.
Confirms and affirms what my grandmother said throughout her life as living as a conservative, fairly observant Jew. I just love this. So thank you so much for bringing this forth, especially as the first lesson in this new format, Glenda. And on June 20th, I get married. I really feel that.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah. I'm traveling to England. So, praying for safe travels and that my back holds up this time and so on and so forth. But I really feel what I want to mention is that, Yeshua, I really feel that his energy and even Mother Mary's and who knows, maybe even Mary Magdalene, that their energies have really sort of blessed or made this marriage possible. And I just want to say, that. And it's this simple, philosophy and way of life that is so needed in the world. It's such the basis of peace and innocent perception. It really goes that hand in hand with the whole innocent perception, truth that Yeshua really emphasized. So thank you.
Thank you. Welcome. And congratulations. Will the new couple be living in England?
It's a process, as we once spoke about, you know, to for immigration and getting all that paperwork, you know, straightened out, especially since we're not really into the standard vaccination protocols. And to immigrate to the United States, currently, I think you have to have about 20 different vaccinations. So it's going to be a process. We're going to obviously file for religious exemption. And so we hope to eventually spend the majority of our time in the United States. But I have a feeling that both Samantha and I will be sort of traveling back and forth until all that sort of government you know, stuff gets worked out.
That's a good plan. Yeah, that's become a worldly couple.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, so long as it's in the cards and the blessings. So thank you.
Yes. Well, give her a kiss on the cheek from me. Okay.
I will. Thank you, Glenda.
Thank you, Stephen. We're so happy for you. Congratulations. Glenda, we have Elizabeth here. Hi, Elizabeth.
Hi, Nancy. Hi, Glenda. As Stephen said, thank you so much for this new format. It's wonderful. And like you, I never understood that either, about the beatitude of being poor, how was that being in the kingdom of heaven? But as I read in the email I received and the book and you just explaining it now, it makes perfect sense. So thank you so much. And I think this is great that you are going to continue doing this every week. It's really expanding us all, I think. So I just want to say thank you so much. And I'm so glad to hear that you're feeling better. And that's wonderful news, wonderful, 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 and I hope you continue just in perfect health.
Thank you so much.
I just have one quick blessing for my friend George French, who's in New Orleans. He's trying to get into assisted living and needs to very desperately, and there's some letter he's waiting on from a government agency or Medicare or someone to be able to get into this very nice and good assisted living place called St. Margaret's in New Orleans. And I would just ask for a blessing that this will just go through this week, you know, just all the things that are stopping him getting in there will just dissolve, and that he'll be able to get in and finally be in a place where he can relax and be looked after and be at peace. So I just ask for Yeshua's blessing for George this week, that this will all just, there've been a lot of problems and things keep, you know, being held up and what have you. And I just ask for that to all be released so he can go where he needs to be for his peace of mind, body, and spirit. Thank you.
Absolutely. Okay.
Thank you, Linda.
We'll hold him in our heart.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye, Elizabeth.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Elizabeth. Oh, I don't know what happened there, but I opened Christopher's line. If anyone just got bumped accidentally, let us know and just jump back in. Hi, Christopher.
Hey, everybody. Well, first of all, congratulations to Stephen. I'm so happy to hear that. I know Stephen from years ago in Fairfax, and it's always awesome to hear your voice on the line, buddy. I'm so happy for you. And also, Glenda, so happy to hear you went, got over that hump, whatever that was, health-wise. I've been praying for it passionately. Mm-hmm. So for your whole
system
into equilibrium. So we're really happy to hear that. Yes. And then, you know, this passage, when I received it in my inbox last night, there's a part of me that's expecting that he's going to speak to me directly. And then there's a part of me that's very surprised when it's that. Apropos, I guess, because earlier this week when I was praying about some things, that those were the words and that was the passage that came to me to study. So when I received it, I was like, gosh, this is just amazing how in sync we are sometimes with this community. I just want to get testified to that. Yeah. That's an amazing thing. And, you know, the way I was understanding it before I reread The Love Without End, just what I was understanding from my own practice is just how blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed am I in those moments when I'm able to surrender. Because so often I get real creative. I get really clear ideas about what I think I should be doing. And that's a beautiful thing. I love my creativity. I love being an artist, being passionate about life. And then sometimes there's a ceiling to that because it's limited by my own will. But then there's these moments when I come to God and I set down that limitation and I make myself available to that greater power, that greater intelligence, that greater love. And then it kind of can link together with my unique individual perspective on how things should go. And that's how I was understanding the simplicity part or the poverty part, was being willing to set down my agenda enough to let God in. And when I'm not doing that, you know, I can have fun with life, but I reach a limitation, basically. And yet when I set down that agenda, then this beautiful power flows in to meet me in it. And there's even greater peace, serenity, joy, you know, and another level of expression that can come through. So thank you for this wonderful contemplation here. And thank you, Yeshua.
Thank you.
You're very, very welcome, Christopher. And you're a very, very intelligent man. And I think for many years you've been struggling with complications because you want to understand all sides of a subject.
Indeed.
That's Christopher. Yeah. And there really is only, there aren't any sides to any subject. There's only the simplicity of how you are part of it. And, you'll learn more. It's really not about surrender. It's about receiving. We have to simplify to receive. You cannot receive through too many filters, through too many layers, or through any complications. In order to receive, you must be simple. You were created that way. So you'll learn as you go along, as did I. Similar problem.
I was going to say,
lots of curious people are that way.
What? I was going to say, it's not an issue you can relate to, Glenda, I'm sure.
Oh, yes, I can.
I'm playing with you.
Okay. Well, we're running out of time, Christopher, and we've got two more people on our call. So
we sure do.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye.
I'm so glad you're here. Yes. We've got area code 832.
Yep, it's Christine. I know my name isn't populated, I don't think. Hello, Glenda and Nancy. I hope you've been well. I haven't been able to call in for a while, and I've been missing the community. And sometimes when I can't sleep at night, I wake up in the middle of the night, and I put on one of the recordings. And what do you know, I'm sleeping and, like, in the company of all of you, and it really helps me. So thank you. Infinite thanks.
That's beautiful.
And then my subconscious mind is also picking up very positive messaging as well.
That's what's doing it. Yeah.
And I had something that resonated with me on this passage, and then I wanted to ask for a couple of little blessings. But with this passage, it is really resonating with me because I spent a great deal of the first part of my life complicating things because I didn't know to look within. And so now I'm dealing with uncomplicating, and it's taking so much. So I feel this deep, deep desire for simplicity, but I feel like there's this Einstein quote, which is crazy because I was thinking about it. And then you mentioned the Einstein E equals MC squared, but the quote that you cannot solve a problem with the same mentality that created it. Just, I almost think of that daily because I know where I want to be, but I'm still processing through this complicated mindset that I had from not feeling like I was enough for so many years and shopping and filling my life with everything, mm-hmm. but, you know, looking within. So that really resonates with me. And I too love this new format. And I've often wondered if you ever considered doing an audible book of Love Without End.
We're going to do a miniature version of that. Okay.
Yeah. I loved listening.
How about
to you
that? So
I loved it.
Come back again. Bring your friends. It'd be a good place for people to get introduced.
Absolutely.
Yes. I actually have a friend who I believe you ordained many years ago, which she's all so happy to hear everything I tell her. But anyways, and I know we're short on time, so I will, I really would love for everyone to keep, and Joshua to bless my sweet little pup, Kitty. She's a 13-year-old little Pomeranian mix that is her own worst enemy with her crazy curiosity and her own distrust in the world, and she has some nerve issues and was diagnosed with lymphoma, and we are just trying our best, hoping our best. We, of course, I know that it's possible that she can heal. I also know that it's, you know, not going to be easy, but I'm keeping her whole self in my mind's eye, and I just would love a blessing. Oh, thank you so much, and also that I may surrender.
You got that one for sure.
Thank you.
All right, my dear.
Thank you
God
so
bless
much.
You. God bless
thank
you.
You. Thank you so much, Christine. We'll look forward to hearing you again. We've got Candace here. Glenda, hi, Candace.
Well, hi, everyone. As I've been listening, I keep thinking of other things I want to say, but I'm really glad that you're better, Glenda. That's good to hear.
Thank you.
The cactus rose, I've been using it in a diffuser, and my house smells divine. And I go back and forth with the compassion and the Christ scent. I dabble a little on, and I'm always told I smell divine. So there you go.
There you go.
Yes, and I was going to say, I was so excited when I got your email and you said you were going to be doing a book review. I called Maura right away and I read the email to her, and we kind of discussed the what you had written and stuff. And so we were both really excited to tell you that. And then I wanted to ask for blessings for Maura as she deals with the complications that come when you reach your 90s and you start to need a little more help with things. And I do have a question, Glenda. When I was reading this, would you explain or say a little more about the spirit is one, and if you attempt to break it, the divided house will turn against you, the disruptor. Whenever you attempt to divide the spirit, you have granted it consent to collect its damages from you. Can you just tell me a little bit about what does that mean or what does that look like? Or I don't really kind of understand that.
I will give you another quote from Yeshua. It's in the New Testament. Okay. Judge not that you be not judged. In other words, it'll come back to you. If you judge, you break the spirit. Where it's broken, it will come back to haunt you in order to encourage you to fix it.
Okay.
Yeshua worked many, many miracles that are reported in the New Testament. And when he was done, two things he would do is he would acknowledge a person's own faith that it was possible to be healed. And then it's like, now go and fix the problem. Okay.
Yes.
In other words, forgive your brother or ask your brother forgiveness. It was a little different in every situation, but go fix the problem. Meaning,
sure,
that if you don't reunite the spirit, this miracle is not going to stay in place. You got a blessing right now. You feel good, but go fix what caused the problem.
Okay. All right. That helps.
When we have a break in spirit, it will percolate down into the material realm and show up as either symptoms, shortage, ill temper, broken relationships, something. It will actually show up in the material universe and will say, but I didn't ask for that. I didn't create it. I mean, why are they so ill-tempered with me? Well, you got to go all the way back into the spirit and find out a place where it was broken. And it could be like what happened to me with my best friend growing up. We were, I won't give her name, but I'm not going to say anything bad, really bad anyway. We were like twin sisters from the time I was 4 years old, she was three. Okay. We were together every day. Well, something came to pass in her teenage years. It didn't happen to me. It happened on her side. She had an opportunity to accelerate her social position, to become a debutante, a socialite. And I didn't belong in that realm. I mean, my parents were very respected middle-class people. I mean, they were loved and respected in the community. Our family was respected. But, you know, we didn't belong to the country club. And we didn't own a department store. And we didn't have – my mom and dad didn't have the capacity to elevate me to where my girlfriend was going. Well, she did a few things that really, really did insult me. She had a party at her home, didn't invite me. The first time ever I had not been invited to anything at her home. Now, I could have taken this up with her, but I had the instinct to know that if I took it up, it wouldn't be solved because we were looking at an irredeemable fracture in the spirit at that time. And I didn't want her to suffer from it. And I didn't want to suffer from it. So I just walked away. I never challenged her on it. I never put bad feelings into it. I went on with my life. She went on with her life. And years later, decades later, when I had a museum show in my hometown with paintings of my family's garden, she was there at the front door waiting for me to greet me at the beginning. So nothing bad percolated. But if we had allowed a fracture to happen, a lot of things could have percolated through the years because they do filter down. I just had too much love and too much good sense to make an issue out of it. I just really, even though I was only about 20 years old, I actually understood. And I accepted it for what it was. And so you have to understand that what happens in the spirit will be reflected in the physical. And if there's a harsh, unkind, debilitating break in the spirit, one that evokes judgment or hurt feelings or anger or arguments, you got to fix it. You got to fix it.
Yes. Okay. Thank you. That's very helpful. Thanks a lot. Yep.
Okay.
That helped. Thanks a lot, Glenda.
Apply it and you'll understand even more because it works.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Thank you, Dean.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Candace, I'm glad you brought that up because I'm sure a lot of people have the same question. So thank you. And thank you, Glenda, for such a profound, answer.
Yes.
Well, yeah. you guys get a lot of pieces of my life as an example of what I'm talking about because that's how I learn. It's that he'll teach me something and then I'll go back and look for examples in my own life. So I encourage you to do the same thing. When he gives you instructions, don't just let it stop there in your mind because chances are, if it's a spiritual subject, your mind can't fully comprehend it anyway. You're going to have to go find examples. Live it. Breathe it. Make it real for yourself. And then at some point you'll say, oh, I got it. Yeah, that's simple.
Keep it
simple. Have you noticed, all of you, that every epiphany you've ever had was accompanied by the words of, oh, that's simple.
Keep it simple, fam, right? Kiss the day.
When you really get it, it is simple. It always is. Okay, my friends, we are ready to get ready. How's that for simple? Ready to get ready for our meditation. And I'm going to change our venue here. We are going into a mute mode. So we will be in a temple of silence now. But before we move into our actual blessing, we're going to move ourselves toward it, by acknowledging and comprehending that it's all going to come to us through divine energy, the same kind of energy that embodies love, that is spirit. Spirit does have energy, and, spirit is in all things. That means energy as well. And if we look at the phenomena that happened to the apostles on the day of Pentecost, they had flames on their shoulders. They had the energy of life moving through them, the energy that created life and the universe moving through them. There are many, many frequencies of energy depending upon what the point of origin is or the receivership is. So prepare yourself to be fluid. And we've been sitting here now for a little over an hour, or maybe you've been lying down, or you've been in a porch swing. I don't know, but you've probably been immobilized one way or the other for about an hour, unless you sat up and walked around a little bit. So what we're going to do is we're going to stand up, or if you can. If you can't, if you really are immobilized in a chair, then change your position. Move around, get your little sit upon in a different place. Move the pillow around. Maybe have someone help you adjust. All right? And then I want you to extend your legs. Now, if you can stand, all the better. Let's start with our right leg, because that's how blood flows down from your heart, on the right side. Okay, let's extend our right leg, okay, and wiggle your foot, wiggle your toes, all right, and now make a little windmill out of that leg. Doesn't have to be a big one. Don't lose your balance. If you need to hold to the back of a chair, by all means, do it. Or put your hand on a table. Don't lose your balance. Stay centered. Centered is good. Okay. Now let's take the left leg. Let's extend it just a little bit. Okay. Wiggle your foot. Wiggle your toes. Move it. Okay. Now let's make a little windmill out of your leg. Let's move to the left. Move to the right just a little bit. You just want to get that energy coming all the way up your leg into your hip flexor. Now that we've gotten into the hip flexor, don't just stop there. Let's turn your hips to the right a little bit. Okay, if it's not much, because this isn't yoga. It's just movement. Just move it a little bit to the right, then move it a little bit to the left. Bend it forward. If only just an inch, bend it over as far as you can, okay, forward. And then bring it up slowly, okay, and then tilt it back. Don't go back too far, because we don't want you to lose your balance, but just an inch or two or three, just back, so that you're going to stretch your diaphragm. If you move your shoulders and your back, then your diaphragm will be stretched, and that's going to help you open up for breathing, okay? Now, okay. Oh, that feeling better? All right. So we're going to turn our shoulders around first to the right, okay? And then we're going to turn them to the left. Okay, we're going to lift your right arm as you go to the left. We're going to drop your right arm, and we're going to lift your left arm as you tilt to the right. Okay? Now feel that stretch in your ribs. Okay? We're still working on your diaphragm at this point. Okay. And now we're going to make windmills out of our arms, and we're going to move the arm forward first. Okay? Move it forward. Now let's move it back. Okay? And now let's bring our hand up toward our shoulder joint and lift your elbow, just like you were a little bird wanting to fly. We're going to work this out on the right side first. Okay, lift your elbow. Okay. See, we're opening this shoulder joint. Okay. And down and up again. Okay, we're going to go to the left. All right. Hand under, well, in your armpit. Okay. Elbow bent, and now lift it. Lift it up and then down. And up and down again. All right. I think I forgot to give you the windmill on the left-hand side, so let's go ahead and do that. It doesn't matter what order you do it in, as long as it's done, because it opens the space in your shoulder joint. Okay? That's good. Now, let's do both arms at the same time. Extend them forward. Now, swing them under. Swing it forward again. And now, go back like two windmills at the same time. And that's going to open your neck. That's very, very important. Because the energy that comes down from the heavens through the top of your head makes an entry to your body at the neck. And this, if your neck is tight and the muscles are strangling the blood flow, it impedes that energy coming through and then getting into your heart. It's very important. This connection from your skull to your heart is very, very important. So I want to take one more time to bend to the right and then bend to the left. That little meow you heard is my little girl. She says, well, how do I do it? So she's right here trying to follow me. Okay, and let's do another windmill. Okay, and another on the left. All right, good. We're ready to take a deep breath. Take the deepest breath you can through your nose, because we want it to also include your sinuses. We want it to go everywhere that breath can go. Breathe really deeply and hold it for a couple of seconds. And now blow it out through your mouth and squeeze your diaphragm up so that you push out every last square inch of air. Now, take another in-breath through your nose. Unless your nose is blocked, and then do it through your mouth, okay? Here we go. Hold it. Oh, blow it out. You probably noticed your shoulders would fall at that point. And that's the last part of it. It wasn't just for getting air in your body. It was also for releasing that clavicle muscle so that you're really fluid in your shoulder region and you're connected with your head. All right, now I just want you to continue mindful breathing at this point. That would be ordinary breath, but mindfully perceived as inhale Pause. Exhale. Pause. Inhale. Pause. We think of breath usually as only two functions, inhale and exhale, because most of the time, the only time we think about our breathing is either when we're in hyperaction or we're in a little state of anxiety. And so we inhale, exhale, in, out. And that is actually not allowing for the production and value of what a breath can bring to you. The production and the value occurs in the pauses. So the mindful breath observes the pauses and doesn't rush through them. I want you to do that while I pray to Yeshua, and then you will follow with your prayer while we, the blessing givers, conduct the energy of the blessing. Dear Yeshua, Lord of life, Son of God, divine omnipotence upon this planet, the simplicity of creation that lives within us, that is our breath and our blood, our body and our strength. We ask you to embrace our soul and let us know that we are loved of our Creator. We are the children of God. We are here to celebrate that potential, the potential to release all the goodness that has been placed in our life, all the value that we can have to others, and our fortunate and blessed position in the world. We thank you for your love, your devotion, and your ever-present, welcoming heart and listening ear. While we are here, dear and close to you, we accelerate this moment to ask blessings for our loved ones and for those we love at a distance, though we may have never known. We ask that the children be blessed and the elders be cared for, and that we all find a peaceful and benevolent way of co-creating in this beautiful kingdom of God, now and forever. Blessed is your name. Amen. Blessing givers, will you join me now in conducting the blessing?
Amen. Amen. And amen. Your blessing has been given. Now it's time to rest and receive. So lay down. Stretch out flat, horizontal. Be in a receiving position. At this point, you're not delegating, you're receiving. And God is giving. Be blessed. Receive all that is being given to you. And allow yourself to be open to receive all during the next week and days and months ahead. God's giving will never end. But bye-bye for now, and I look forward to being with you again next week.